I think I'll go ahead and start that third and final hour, if you don't mind. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California like I am every Monday through Friday. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every single step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the program. We are efforting the head football coach at Clemson, Dabo Sweeney. I will find him momentarily. In the meantime, you should pick up the phone, hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. If that's not really in your best interest and you'd rather just thumb out a tweet, do that. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. If you want to email the program, you're welcome to do so. The email address is Rome. Hello, Mr. President.
It's lit!
How many packs of Skittles have you had today? It's Rit!
It's lit!
He came in the studio! Hey, Rome. Even if Dave Chappelle reached out to you, would you even have met up with him? Signed, Robert Plant.
Hey, well, look, I know that it's probably not going to happen, but you're more than welcome to come along and see what we do. It's great fun, and I can tell you some great stories off microphone, which will really make you laugh.
Yeah, no, I'm good, Robert Plant. I've got more important things to do than see you backstage. You know, I got a Wednesday show to prep for, Robert Plant. That Wednesday show is really important. They all are. So if I come out and see you on a Tuesday night, Robert Plant, then that's going to put me behind on the Wednesday prep of that show. What year was that, Alvin? A Wednesday show in the middle of the year, and the year being, I don't know, 2006 or 2009 or 2011 or whatever the hell it was. I'm sure that opportunity will always be there for me, Robert Plant. And of course it wasn't. I never interviewed him ever again. Never had a chance to see him ever again. Never spoke to him ever again. The guy literally, he didn't even know who I was, I don't think. That's how good of a guy Robert Plant is. Robert Plant comes on this show, was on this show here in the jungle. He said, hey, if you want, I know you'll probably say no. But if you want, come on out, man. I can tell you some stories off air that you won't believe. I mean, I am Robert Plant. Really, Robert Plant? Because I'm Jim Rome. And I've got a Wednesday sports talk radio show to prep for. So no, I will not be coming to your show. One of the most regrettable decisions I've ever made. I hate myself for that. But I can't get it back. I can't change it. That's why I still get Robert Plant emails, because I didn't take him up on that. You know, stuff's like, man, it's too hard. It's too hard. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then you look back, like, how hard could that have been? And even if it was hard, how is that not worth it? And would you clones have not have understood if I rolled in the next day? Not because I ever do. I mean, you can say what you want about me or the show or the fact that sometimes the show is better than other days. I'll own all that. All true. All true. But have you ever heard me show up not prepared to host the program, not to have a show for you? If on that one day I were to roll in here and say, clones, I'm going to be real. I was out late last night with Robert Plant. I don't have a hell of a lot to talk about today. We're going to bang a lot of phone calls today because, frankly, well, I'm hungover and I didn't do any work. I was hanging out with Robert Plant. I would imagine all would have been forgiven. I would imagine you would have understood. The stations carrying the show would have understood because it would have been a one-off. Like, I'm not that guy who constantly is showing up late. You never know what you're going to get. I get here late. The guy who hosts the show before me has got to stay on longer because I'm stuck in traffic. Never happens. As promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Clemson. 11th full season at Clemson. He has won National Coach of the Year honors from at least one organization in 5 of the last 7 years. Led the Tigers to 5 ACC titles and a couple of national titles. Clemson is 11-0. They're 8-0 in conference, and they're at South Carolina November 30th. That's a noon Eastern game. Dabo Sweeney is my guest. Dabo, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. Let me ask you about Saturday's win over a good Wake Forest team. That also was senior day. I understand you still have work to be done this year, but when you look at that senior class and everything that it has accomplished, how special is that group to you? What have they meant to you?
Oh, man, amazing group. You know, last year's team, I mean, we really could have played in spring ball. We could have spotted the ball and played. It was so many veterans, so many seniors, all this leadership, and obviously they went 15-0. And you know, we spent this entire spring and summer talking about all the guys who were gone. But this senior group, not big, but a really special group of young people. And they got their 52nd win on Saturday, and that's the fastest of 52 ever. 52 wins in 55 games. So just super proud of them. They've spent their entire career in the top 10. But they had a lot of pressure on them this year, you know, from a leadership standpoint with all the guys who were gone. And they've just done an amazing job. I mean, just an amazing job. And I'm so glad I got a few more games with them. It was kind of sad to see us close up shop here at our home stadium, but it was a beautiful day and I mean they played just awesome against a really tough Wake Forest team that was giving everybody trouble.
Dabo Swinney, my guest. You know, when you talk about guys and pressure, everybody's under pressure, but after the win you made the point that Trevor Lawrence is playing like the best player in the country right now, although you might not have necessarily said that earlier this season. What to you, Dabo, has been the biggest difference from the start of the season to right now with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've played 11 games, and he's really played well in, you know, pretty much 10 of the 11 games. He's played well all year. He's had about 8 really bad plays, and especially early in the season, he had a few just plays where he tried to do too much, and he was still the best player. He just wasn't playing as the best player. But I think these last 6 games or so, he has been just phenomenal. I mean, unbelievable what he's done. And I think just the biggest thing was just him, you know, not doing too much and, you know, checking the ball down a little bit more and just playing within the system. I think sometimes you can be too experienced and you all of a sudden think you know a lot and you can do a little more. But he just got back to the basics and the fundamentals of what we do. And he's done an awesome job. So super proud of him. He's had a heck of a run these last 6 or 7 weeks and threw 4 touchdowns, career high for himself the other day. And his efficiency's higher than it was this time last year. He's a much better player than he was this time last year. But for whatever reason, at the end of the year, he was playing well, but the focus was on what he didn't do, his bad plays instead of his good plays. But he worked through that, and now he's in a good spot and really excited about leading us into this phase of our season.
We're talking to Dabo Swinney. Now, when you talk about the phase of the season, you might be referring to this because I know you and the team refer to November as the championship phase. Can you lay that out for me? What do you mean by that, and do you notice a change in the guys when they get to the so-called championship phase?
Yeah, well, for us, everything builds to this moment. And so our year starts in January, and probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I started breaking the year down, the journey. I call it the journey, and I started breaking it down into phases. January to April is what we call get ready, the get ready phase, and that's your off season, that's spring practice, and then May, June, and July is what we call transformation. So now you're taking all the things from the spring and going to transform over the summer, and then August is prime time. August, September, October, that's prime time. And then November's championship time. And we have a state championship. We hope to be, we know we'll be competing for a division championship in November. We were able to clinch that. Now we have an opportunity to finish out this season. So November, December is our championship phase. And it's just kind of helped us have a kind of break the year into segments, and then we have a daily focus that goes with that. So, hey, what we do on Monday and Tuesday, and it's just helped us to stay focused on what we're doing and be in the moment and be consistent.
We're talking to Dabo Swinney. Now, you're 11-0. You've won 26 straight, including a national title. I mean, it seems like kind of a silly thing to ask, but do you feel, because it almost feels to me like you're being somewhat overlooked. Now, I understand you're not interested in getting love from the polls at this point of the year. That's not what it's about. I understand that you're focused on the road ahead, but does it feel like folks might be sleeping on this team a little bit?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think people have been trying to talk us out of the playoff all year. And everybody spends more time talking about who we play as opposed to who we are. And, you know, we play the same people we've always played. And we've been pretty successful in the last 8-9 years. So, you know, we've got a really good team. And I think, again, early in the year, we've dominated every game but one. And that was on the road, and we didn't play well, and you know, but we won the game. And you know, it's been a little bit of that rhetoric all year long, but you know, we just kind of stay about our business, and we all know that it'll all work itself out in the end. And here we are now. There's just a few undefeated teams left. This team right here. Although we got here differently than last year's team. I really feel like this team's ahead of last year's team, you know, from my perspective. I think that we're playing better on defense. We're giving up fewer points. And I think offensively, there's not even a comparison to where we were at this space last year. We're playing really well. We're better at quarterback. We're better in the OL. We're better at running back. We're better at receiver. And then defensively, this is the best back seven I've ever coached. And they're just doing a tremendous job. We've grown up front. We've created some depth. And so, you know, I just – all I can tell you is what I see every day, and I see a group of young, committed players. We've played more freshmen than any team in the country, and we've played more players per game than any team in the country. And so I'm excited about where we are. I think that we're a team that has a chance. I mean, you got to go earn it. You got to – man, we know that for us, people ask me, what's the hardest part about us trying to repeat as a national champion? And my answer is easy. Well, it means we got to go 30-0 because that's what it's going to take. So there's nothing easy about that. But here's what I know: you can't win 30 until you win 27. So we're just trying to stay focused on the task at hand, and that's win our state championship. And if we do that, all the rest of it will come out in the wash in the end.
Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney joins me for another moment or so. You know, Sunday's Texans-Ravens game between Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson was a reminder of that 2016 game when Louisville came to the Valley. When you think back on that game and those two quarterbacks going at it, what sticks out to you the most?
Man, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just, you know, we got a lead on them, and then Lamar Jackson brings them back, and they end up getting the lead. And, you know, Deshaun threw a couple picks, but he didn't flinch. And then he comes right back. We get a big kick return by Artavis Scott. And then we hit Jordan Leggett for a big touchdown. And, I mean, it was just a back and forth. Literally, you knew there was a point in that fourth quarter where you just knew it was going to come down to the last play. I mean, it was just like no doubt about it. Both quarterbacks were trying to will their team to victory, and you could sense that, and neither one of them flinched. I've always had a lot of respect for Lamar Jackson and the type of competitor he is, and it did. It came down to one play, and, you know, our DB, Marcus Edmond, you know, knocked their receiver out of bounds just short of the first down, and it was an epic moment and just a beautiful, beautiful football game by a bunch of great competitors.
You know, Dabo, before I let you go, you got a big birthday coming up this week. In fact, it's tomorrow. I got to wish you a happy birthday a day early. I got to ask the question, though, are you going to make time to celebrate for that big day? And if so, how do you go about doing that? Because it's a pretty big one. Are you going to allow yourself a slice of cake, or are you just locked in on business?
Oh, man. Fortunately, you know, we got this open date this week. So, heck yeah, man, we're going to celebrate. I can't wait. We got practice tomorrow. And then afterwards, I'm sure we got our normal team dinner, and I'm sure we'll have some fun with that. And then my wife's making my favorite cake, so we'll probably go home tomorrow night and do the birthday thing and just have some fun. So it's been I might have a late night basketball game against one of my sons because he's been challenging me here. Now that I'm 50, he thinks he can take me down. So I may have to accept that challenge. It's amazing. I can't believe I'm gonna be 50. I mean, I still feel like I'm 30. So I guess this is the new 30.
So what's the secret? If 50 is the new 30, how'd you make it so? What is the secret?
I just, you know, I went to college when I was 18. I never left. You know, I've been with a bunch of 18 to 23-year-olds my whole life. And, you know, I just around these young guys every day. I work out. I run. I play basketball. I enjoy what I do, you know. I get to do it's a dream to be able to do something for a living that I don't really see as a job. You know, it's just a passion, and I guess that's a part of it. But I just stay active and busy. My mind's always working, and I love to compete. I get to compete at a high level, and I think all those things keep you young. But probably more than anything is the good Lord gave me some perspective. So I try not to get too high or too low. Just try to have joy in each and every day.
Great stuff. I love it. Dabo Swinney, the head coach of Clemson. They've got the open date. They're 11-0, 8-0, and they're out at South Carolina on November 30th. Dabo, happy birthday and a day early. You know I appreciate the relationship, and it's always so good to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Thank you. You got it. Dabo. He turns 50 tomorrow. He said, I feel like I'm 30. 50 is the new 30. All right. And how do you do that? Well, he never left college. Hangs out around 18 to 23-year-olds, works out, eats the right way, got the proper perspective because of his faith, appreciates everything. It's a good way to go. And his son wants a piece of him because he feels like now the old man's 50, I can win. Hey, Ike, how old were you when your kid beat you for the first time? 90? What was that like? Just kidding, bro. It's Ritt! Speaking of Ritt, he got Kevin and Bean, fellow Hall of Famers, to join me for our podcast tomorrow. Two icons in this industry. Can't wait for that. So make sure you check out the Jim Rohn podcast. That is tomorrow. Dabo is something else, man. He is something else. Like, in a world, how many coaches do you hear on this show? And what do coaches talk about? They always talk about the same things, a little bit differently, but the same things. They talk about the process. They talk about the culture. They talk about players being selfless. They talk about Toughness Tuesday, Monday motivation. I mean, they talk about all the same types of things, themes, platitudes. But then you look at Dabo, and it's like, he's one of a kind. He's one of one. All these guys, all these leaders, all these CEOs, like basketball CEOs, football CEOs. But then there's like Dabo. Like, how is he different than all of them? But he is. I'm always blown away by that conversation. And I'm blown away that we have that conversation two or three times a year. Like, he always makes himself accessible. Like, he'll do it before the championship game. It's amazing. And then always shows up like that. And I'm always better for it. Something else he does, he says that he plays younger people than others, and he's not going to stop that anytime soon. And he's got another really nice recruiting class coming in. He has the top two recruits in the country heading his way. So the present, obviously, is very, very good, and you can tell he's got kind of a chip on his shoulder. Like, why is everybody trying to talk us out of the playoff? Because of who we played. He's like, we're playing the same people we always play. Why are you trying to talk us out of the playoff? Because my quarterback. Because he's not what he appeared. He goes, he's made maybe 8 bad plays, but he's still the best player. He said, we had a really close game, but we won that game. So why is everybody talking us out of it? So to me, they're dangerous. They're dangerous because they're talented and they're deep, but they're dangerous because they do have that chip on their shoulder. Little Clemson football dangerous. For you. He is dangerous.
That's right.
Dabo something else. All right, when we come back, I got time for phone calls, and I want to get into the Lakers. Best team in the association right now. And they brought in Dave Chappelle. No way that dude's coming around last year. No way that dude's going to email me, even though he's got all my contact information. But the Lakers got him to show up. I will have that for you when we return. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks to Dabo Swinney and Clemson, always. Upgrade to the wiper blades trusted by Rainer Zietlow to break world records. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real world proven for extreme weather performance that lasts two times longer than other blades. The new Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are only available at Walmart. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so what a difference a year makes. You don't believe me? Ask the Lakers. Remember where they were last year. Look at where they are right now. Last year, they were like the LA Knicks or something. They were embarrassing. This year, they're the best team in the association. Early season, small sample size. I'm just going by where we are in the middle to latter part of November. It is early. But ball don't lie. Neither do the standings. Right now, it is the Lake Show looking down on everybody else. 7 months ago, Magic Johnson took a break from rampant tampering to quit his gig as team president in the middle of the season so he could go back to his special brand of social media, tweeting yesterday's news tomorrow. And he did it before he told his boss and his alleged sister. And at the same time, LeBron was shut down and Lonzo Ball was effectively dribbling out the clock on his short-lived, underwhelming career as a Laker. All of that led to a hilarious three-nerd protest outside of Staples in what seemed like rock bottom. Imagine that was like a thing. That chant actually happened. No more Rambis. No more Rambis. But like Kurt or Linda or both. Which Rambis? Either way, that's rock bottom, right? For a once proud franchise. And if it wasn't rock bottom, you could see it from there. I bring it all up because it's not ancient history. It's recent history. I mean, it was almost like it was yesterday. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Davis comes in. And it looked like the LeBron years might be over before they even started, right? Before AD came.
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, AD? Most things now. Now it looks like not only are the LeBron years not over before they started, it looks like they may even throw up another banner before it's all said and done. Because it's all coming around. The car flags are back. Kobe was in the building dapping up LeBron the other night. And arguably the best comedian to ever work a wireless mic was a guest speaker at Lakers HQ yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up right now for Dave Chappelle.
Dave freaking Chappelle. Let me say it up front. I don't think this guy was showing up for this squad last year. I don't think my man was coming in from Ohio, wherever he was, to talk to Reggie Bullock and Scott Machado about how to be their best when the lights are the brightest. I don't know if that request went out to him last year, but I can imagine if, in fact, he even responded, what that response might have been. But somehow Rob Pelinka managed to book him for his first place team this year as part of his so-called Genius Talk series. Where unlike when he scheduled dinner for Kobe with deceased actors, Rob actually brought in somebody, in fact, some guys who were very much alive, to speak to the team. And so far, so good. I mean, big swings. Kendrick Lamar, Denzel Washington, The Rock have all come by. All very much alive. All in the flesh. They all did their thing. And add to that, Chappelle. Now I could sit here and re-rack the Charlie Murphy, Prince bit, especially since there are basketball ties there.
Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Except yesterday's visit from Chappelle turned out to be more about Frank Vogel, of all guys. Vogel. Because Vogel was flexing his Chappelle knowledge and his calves all over the world yesterday. First, there was that team photo with Dave, where Frank Vogel was standing off to the side in basketball shorts with, frankly, the most shredded calves you're ever going to see. And I don't mean for a coach. I mean like for a guy, for a human. You could say this guy does not skip leg day, but I would argue every day is leg day for Frank. And in a picture that featured the likes of LeBron James, Dave Chappelle, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, DeMarcus Cousins, Rajon Rondo, Rob Lowe's twin brother, and Dwight Howard. All Twitter wanted to talk about in the comments were Frank Vogel's calves. But the bigger flex, and go look at those pics if you don't believe me, the bigger flex was Vogel throwing down on Chappelle's IMDb. The coach said, quote, "Dave Chappelle is incredible. He really is. He is the best of all time at stand-up comedy and his in acting and everything," end quote. Now, calling him the best of all time at comedy is not unheard of. In fact, not even controversial. But dropping that his acting is as well, that's I don't know about that. I'm not going to go as far as to say that's as out there as Jonathan Bernier calling Nelson Mandela a great hockey player. It's not that bad.
Obviously, Nelson Mandela, one of the most significant historical figures of the 20th century. What knowledge or awareness did you have of him growing up, or when did you learn of him?
He's one of the most known athletes in the world, and a lot of impact in any kind of sport that he did. And, you know, even playing hockey, everyone knows him, right, from being the type of person that he was off the ice and on the ice. And
all right, so that's got nothing to do with Vogel. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Nelson Mandela was amazing, man. What a great left winger. Except Vogel was not faking his Chappelle knowledge, right? Like, he knew. He actually pulled Chappelle's role as Reggie Warrington from The Nutty Professor to hammer home his point. Using Reggie as your favorite Chappelle role is like saying Interview with a Vampire is your favorite Tom Cruise movie. It takes a super fan with a grip of knowledge to pull that off. Like, any Chappelle guy is going to say Pinball from Con Air or Thurgood Jenkins from Half-Baked.
Abba Zabba, you my only friend.
Coach ain't playing. He goes with the Nutty Professor reference. Pretty amazing. Only Frank Vogel can roll into a genius talk with Dave Chappelle and rip the show twice. First with his calves and then with his filmography. Good job, coach. Keep killing it. Keep killing it. How about a jungle run, coach? We got some things to talk about now. So, you know, things are looking up. Chappelle's showing up. The Genius Series continues. And Vogel, man, my man, coach, he looks like he's got, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger calves. I mean, go look this up right now. Twitter could not believe it, and understandably so. Let's break. Let's break so we can come back. Let's break so I can get you a sports update. Let's break so here is your sports update. What I'm saying is, let's break. Saved you one last segment. Get up in here. Monday Night Football, Kansas City, L.A., Mexico City. We hit on that hard in the opening segment and in hour number one. As I mentioned at that time, if you're a fan of either one of those teams, you probably were expecting the worst, and it did come down to the final moments, and the Chargers came up short yet again. What a frustrating year it's been for them and their fans. We talked about the L.A. Lakers, and I mentioned things must be turning around. Otherwise, there's no way they're getting in the quality people that they get in to talk to that team. Dear Jim, the Lakers' success really underscores how big of a failure Irv is. Dude turns every gig into a smoldering mess. Late night talk shows, coaching the Lakers for 2 weeks, being a crappy TV analyst, and now GM of the Lakers. It isn't a coincidence that the Lakers went from a lottery team to the best team in the association the second Irv left. Also, his business success consists of him showing up at random events and taking pictures with people. Thanks, Drew in West LA. Some of that's fair and some of it's not. Some of that is fair, some of that is not. He did not do well as a late-night talk show host. That's fair. He did not do well coaching the Lakers for 2 weeks. That's fair. As far as him being a crappy TV analyst, I can't say he's a great TV analyst, or really even a good one. As far as him running the Lakers, yeah, that was fine when it was like a hobby. I don't think he understood that you have to come in early and stay late and travel and scout and go places to look for players. I think that he thought that he could just show up and be Magic. Like, hey, yo, I'm Magic. Irv's here. It's all good. Wait, this job's an actual job? I can't just be me? I can't just show up and smile?
If you're going to talk betrayal, it's only with Rob.
With who? Anyway, they're doing pretty fine right now without him. Now, of course, that's got something to do with the players on the floor. But it's not like anybody misses Irv. So Drew and West always going in. Hey, Rome, if you ever get the chance to hang with a rock legend again, just do it. You can always mail it in and talk about us on the next day's show. Regards, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Should they expand the college football playoff? And who's on your NFL Mount Rushmore? Dan in Richmond. Hey, Rome, it's L.A. Vogel obviously has calf implants. Lee in Vancouver. Ordinarily, I would laugh at that and say it's probably true. I don't know, man. Look at the pics. If they're implants, whatever he paid, they're worth it. But it looks like dude's doing the work. I think he's putting in the time. I don't know, so I'm not going to allege that they're implants. However, people do get calf implants here. That's true. It is L.A. Man, this is L.A. It's not how you feel. It's how you look. And if you can inject something into your face, into your forehead, into your calves, into other parts of your body, don't you think we do that here? Because we do. And it works. Ask Vogel's calf implants. Dude's doing the work, man. He's a coach. He's a coach around the best conditioned athletes in the world. I'm sure he's doing the work. I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered how coaches could make unbelievable demands physically and mentally of their players without making the same demands of themselves. I've always wondered that. Not that I expect a coach or a manager to get out there and play, but if you're a coach or you're a manager and you're not taking care of yourself and you're just pushing these guys, man, give me more, go harder, do more. When you're not making any demands on yourself at all, I've always thought that was kind of weird. So without knowing, I'm sure Vogel is in the gym doing work. How could a guy go to LeBron James and ask him to do something physically if you're not doing anything physical yourself? It's counterintuitive. Lee, 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to get the coach back on the program. He's always been good about coming on the show. When he was killing it with the Pacers, he came on the show. Now he's in L.A. They're playing great basketball. He's got them all on the same page. I'm going to try and turn that thing around. Let's go to Wisconsin. John in Wisco. Hey, John, what's up? How are you?
Doing good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
Hey, I'm calling my shot here. Jason Garrett done in Dallas after this year, even though Cowboys are going to win the division.
You think that Jerry Jones would fire him after they win the division?
That's right.
Why?
Well, if you look at Dak's numbers the last few games, there's no way they should have been close. Jason Garrett giving the ball to Zeke against Minnesota when Dak's having the game of his life leading the drive? Why? It all just comes back. There's a ceiling. You know, every quarterback hits that ceiling. I think Jason Garrett's the ceiling keeping Dak from being the MVP caliber he's capable of being. They should
keep going,
win a
John.
Lot more
keep
games.
Going, man. You're and killing it. You're killing the game, Jason John. Garrett. Keep going.
Without Jason Garrett, Dak, that's Dak's team to begin with. Jason Garrett giving it to Dak, he's got 444 yards against Minnesota, and Jason Garrett decides he's going to give up on Dak and give it to Zeke when they need, what, 5 yards to convert? Why not throw the check down to Jason Witten or over to Gallup or Jarwin or any of the other weapons they have? That's my point. Jason Garrett being the play caller, give it to Kellen Moore and see what happens. Kellen Moore played behind Dak. He knows Dak. And obviously there's something going on there because Jerry Jones wouldn't have Kellen Moore being the offensive coordinator helping out Dak if he thought Jason Garrett was totally capable.
Right? Dude, you are so right. John in Wisconsin, you should hit that treadmill up to like 8 and keep running, bro. Yeah, we did cover the end of that game already, and we did talk about the play calling. This thing about Jason Garrett, quote, they're going to win the division, according to John. They're going to win the division, and he's still going to get fired.
Hey, John.
I mean, how many times has this guy been fired? If anybody's unfireable, it would seem to be Jason Garrett, but the fact is they are underachieving. Dak's putting up huge numbers again, and they've got a major test this weekend. But they're underachieving. Jerry and Steven were walking around earlier this year like, it's our time. We're finally going to get it done. We'll be in Miami. See you in Miami. And they came right back to the pack. Underachieving, same as they ever were. Frustrating as hell. And then it's going to always start with Jason Garrett. But Garrett always seems to do just enough to hold on for another year and keep his job. Because, let's face it, we've talked about this a million times. You have to be a certain kind of guy to get that job. And Jerry Jones is going to make sure, although he's taken a bit of a step back, giving his kid a little more responsibility, they don't want that super headstrong head coach there who's going to impose his will and push back on management and ownership. Because Jason Garrett, you know what you have? A guy that you can kind of manipulate. A guy where you can push him buttons. Work the strings. He's not going to make a lot of noise. He knows his place. He knows what's expected of him.
That's right.
And if they're in the hunt and they're close and people are talking about him and Jerry's making money hand over fist, does it really matter who his coach is? Not to him. But even Jason Garrett can't stay there forever, right?
Without Jason Garrett, Dak, that's Dak's team to begin with.
There you go. My man John in Wisconsin set the record straight. If there was any confusion about Dallas before, there's no longer. Not anymore.
Why not throw the check down to Jason Witten or over to...
SoCal Jeff tweets, get this guy an oxygen tank. When your stomach pays you back for indulging this holiday with nausea, heartburn, indigestion, or an upset stomach, get quick relief with Pepto-Bismol Liquicaps. Strong as Pepto liquid, but small enough to take with you on the go. Use as directed. Keep out of children's reach.
Diarrhea.
My thanks to Dabo Sweeney, Matthew Judon, Marcus Williams, John and Wisco.
Hey, John.
The XR4TI. And all of you clones, have a great day. See you right back here tomorrow. We're out.